Good evening. Our scripture reading this evening will be Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. That's Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, "Come with us," let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down in the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate very much those of you that are with us tonight. Back many, many, many years ago, I would say back in the beginning, when God made man, Genesis, the second chapter, verse 18, said that it was not good that man should be alone. As a result of that, God made for this man a woman. And this woman would be definitely someone who you consider to be someone who would be a companion, give him company, become to be someone he became associated with on a very intimate level, and definitely something you would say and establish as, for him, a friendship. And as a result of that, I think there's something about that that brings itself to the point of realizing there are people in this world that become very, very attached to one another. And it's come to the point where that pattern in the book of Genesis chapter 2 has been so abused and neglected and corrupted that there have been so many close relationships between man to man and woman to woman that they can develop, or they believe they can develop, a very sexual and intimate relationship on that standpoint, as if to say they're married, just like these two people were in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 to verse 25. Ever since that day, there have been instances where God put the opportunity where people could be associated with each other. And one of the greatest ones after this day and time was when God established the church. And when God established the church, I think there's something to be said for when he put these people in this church, man and woman, male and female, bond and free, as you would notice in the book of Galatians chapter 3, it talks about that. These people would, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, they would be the ones who would glorify God in that relationship, in that church, because of their association with one another, and they could work together to make the church function as it should. In order that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 could be fulfilled, where he says that we would be building up one another. He talked about it, every joint supplies according to the work and due part of each member, as he said. That they would lend itself toward the building up of the body and love. So there's this association that we have with one another that's a great benefit and a great value. Well, we find ourselves realizing how important friendships are. On an adult level, we know that. But it's not just to adults. It's to children just the same. And that's where we're going to spend our time talking about two parents about their children and developing relationships with others. I must let you know that what I'm about to show you has nothing to do with statistics, has nothing to do with any kind of percentages. But it's just the realization of what researchers have found out about associations that people have with each other. First of all, this is our subject. The other three will be the ones that we'll talk about between now and the end of this year. Children with friends do better in school. Those with friends are more likely to survive a heart attack or major surgery and less likely to have respiratory problems or cancer. Those who have friends live longer. Friendships means so much, some say, that I would die without my friends. And that, like I said, there's no percentages associated with that. There's no statistics, no bar graphs, or anything like that. It's just giving you some ideas about how important associates are, how important people are in the lives of yourself and your children. It is very important to know that when you have such association with people at a young age, that there is a tendency that there would be a means by which this person could almost be someone you would want to do anything for them. Serve them. And in some cases, their relationship becomes to be so connected that they almost worship them. That person that is their friend. It's not that they just do the things that they would do and like the things they like, but they almost come to the point of worshiping this friend or group of friends. Almost becomes to be an idol with them. One of the first things I want to suggest to you this evening is that when we talk about this idea of what's a parent to do about a child and choosing a friend, is we've got to understand that the love of God and worship of God is more important than man. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, verse 39 presents to us, as a result of a question that was asked of the Lord, what is the greatest commandment of the Lord? This is what Jesus said unto him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second likened to it is this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The very first and foremost thing that needs to be considered is that the worship and the service of primary importance is to God. And that seems to be very elementary. But when you talk about associates that we have, and let's talk about it from the standpoint not just of a friendship of your children to other people, but let's talk about it from the standpoint of husband and wife, as well as members of the church. There has become to be so much so said about what this person believes that's almost like they're worshiping what they believe. In other words, there's been times when people would say, well, that's what our preacher said. Their association with their preacher is such that that friendship is so close that they almost serve and worship what he says. Therefore, this idea of friendship needs to be understood as something that comes secondary to our worship and service to the Lord. Our calling is to love and serve one another as a result of the primary love and concern and service to God. That's the one. He's the one that needs to be worshiped first. As elementary as that may seem, there's something to be said for coming back to that realization. In view of the culture which we're in, it is so devoted to celebrities and heroism. Sports athletes and actors and musicians and when all these people that are like this are so exalted to the level that they're awarded for all these different achievements and all kinds of things that they're doing in their life, that people are giving them awards for this and this and this and this, and everybody looks at them and says, I want to be like them. I want to be like them. So therefore, this heroism and celebrityism that's being presented so much is so much so that we're forgetting all about Matthew 22, and we're worshiping and serving them. However, there's one interesting thing about that. We will never probably be a good friend of this celebrity or his hero. We may never know that person on a very intimate level, that we'll go with them, do things, and talk to them all the time, and we'll be with them, and they'll like what we like and all that. So that problem won't take place, but we will probably be, or your child will probably be, very good buddies with their second grade classmate at school, or even the ones that are in the pew with them, and even a small group of girls or a small group of boys. And even among those becomes to be this heroism or celebrityism, as if they're not the ones that get all the praise and accolades and awards. But in their mind, they become to be those that are almost on the level of God. And it's very important to know exactly what it is that is said in verse 39. And the second likened to it is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The manner of the service to one another is coming from what we first have with our relationship with God. Love God and worship Him. And as a result, we will love one another. And that love for one another will show itself in ways that are exactly what God has specified within the Scripture. It won't go beyond that. It'll go exactly according to that. Only if we have love for God first. Then these other friendships that we have will come secondary, and we won't worship them. We will serve them in the way in which God speaks of us to do so. And we won't abuse it. And we will not abuse them. And we will not neglect them, and they will not neglect us. Proverbs chapter 13 says something very wise that should be thought about in this regard in verse 20 and verse 22 when we discuss this idea of friendships, where he says, "Walk with wise men and thou shalt be wise, but the companion of fools shall smart for it." Evil pursues sinners, but the righteous shall be recompensed with good. And that's a very, very valuable statement. Love for God determines, in many instances, the way in which we will love and serve others. And you might want to think about this, the love that's primarily set where it should be with for God first will also help determine who our friends will be. And the wise man has some very interesting words as to which person we should choose. Every parent, first of all, needs to know this one. As a parent, you have to ask yourself, who are your closest friends? In order to figure out how you're going to be able to direct your child in the choices that he or she will make regarding their friends, who are yours? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, a verse that has been stated many, many times in reference to friendships, says, "Be not deceived, evil companionships corrupt good morals." Pretty powerful and pretty simple. And then in the book of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, "Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And if you want to know the impact of the first one, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, then I would challenge you to do this experiment. Very simple. It only takes 3 apples and a brown paper bag. Take 3 apples, one of the apples is a good one. I don't care what brand or flavor or choice you have. But take the other 2, whatever they may be, and let them be bruised to some degree, a little or a lot. And put those 2 that are bruised in a brown paper sack with the good one. And let it stay there for at least 3 months minimum. Now you can go 4 or 5 if you want to, but let 3 months minimum. And then at the end of the 3 months, if it be that way, then what do you think you're going to have? What do you think you're going to see? What are you going to think you're going to smell? It's going to be a really messy, soupy mess. What is it going to amount to? So therefore, there's this. In other words, these 3 apples become to be buddies in 3 months. And that's what the influence of all of them have among each other. But then in Proverbs chapter 27, in verse 17, what's the content of all that's going on there? There's something to be said for this closeness and this relationship that is there. The people that are in it have the same heart makeup. Their heart's made up of the same thing. They're devoted in the same direction. They're going the same way. They believe the same thing. The convictions are the same. They're almost identical. It's almost as if they came out of the same pod of peas. They have the same aspects and values about the things that God wants them to be. And our friendships are going to be found among either one of those 2. And as a result of it being found among that, then it must be understood that the friendships that you as a parent have, mom and dad, whoever they may be, whoever you're most closely associated with, that's who your children will be associated with. Therefore, friendships start at home. They start right there. They start right there with yours, as well as they start right there with mine. And as a result, when you have these friendships that develop, we're going to find ourselves coming to the realization that we're going to have to make some decisions as to whether or not we want to keep the ones that we've got, or we want to change the ones that we have, knowing of what kind of impact they're having upon us, which will almost invariably have identical consequences to our children, because they're going to pick probably the offspring of those people of which are our friends as their friends. And all probability that'll be the case. Therefore, what is it that a parent's going to be needing to do? What's a parent going to have to do? Well, I think it's going to be very similar to what you find in the book of Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, a parent is going to have to be one very similar to Daniel, who when he's in this land, he's not taken there because he wants to be there. He's put in captivity. But Daniel's purpose is, in his heart, that he will not defile himself with the king's delicacies, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And that's very, very important that every parent knows that this begins at home, and they know and realize that they're subject to peer pressure too. It's not just an age-relative term and thought. It's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing thing. And as a result of us, as adults, knowing that that will be the case, there's going to be some times where we're going to have to realize we're going to be making decisions based upon two things. Courage, or let me say it this way, conviction or compromise. That's what we'll do. As a result of the conviction or the compromise, we will have the courage or we will collapse. That's what will happen. Same thing as with Daniel. Daniel had the purpose of heart that this is what he's going to do. If everybody's standing up for what's wrong, will we be sitting? Will we be sitting down? If others are standing up for what's right, will we be standing right there with them if it is right? It's going to be based upon the conviction, or it's going to be said, we've got this belief of compromise. And if it is of conviction, then we'll have the courage. But if it's of compromise, then we will collapse. Those are some very key words to use and to think about when you talk about the choice of friends. And we've got to let our children know that there are those pressure point moments because we have faced them. In order to be able to help your child along the way, there might just be some opportunities for you to develop some situation sessions that you will put in front of them this scenario. Very similar to the case of Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, under the circumstances of which Daniel is in, and he's offered what he's offered, what would you do? Depends on whether or not you've got a conviction or whether or not you want to compromise. As a result, there will be a collapse or there will be courage. If you're over at a friend's house, situation again, if you're over at a friend's house, your buddy that you're with, and there's no one at home, and your buddy goes into the next room and comes out and shows you a pack of cigarettes or a Juul, and he says, let's take some of this. And he lights his up or gets his Juul out, he gets it going, and he gives it to you. What will you do? What will your choice be? And again, it's based upon this same situation. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we have been told and we have emphasized greatly about being ready for the circumstances that will come up. Should somebody ask us a question, sanctifying your hearts, Christ as the Lord, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh your reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. And we say, this is what we should be doing. We should be ready for this. We got to be ready for any and every question or any and every circumstance. Now, I will tell you this. You're not going to be able to cover every single particular situation prior to your child getting into these circumstances with their friends. Yet you can find yourself doing some of these and getting them ready and having the answer already for what they should be doing. And if in the situation that I just mentioned to you just a while ago and they make a good choice, as a result of that, make sure you praise that choice. It's just like Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. They think they made a good choice, and you ought to be the one that will just back that up really good. It's just like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Build them up, build the body up, build their heart up as to say, that was a good choice. And let them know that is definitely, when you made that choice, that was definitely a test of your character. Because their character is going to mean more to them in the long run than anything else in the world. Therefore, this test or this situation that they're given is going to be a test of their character, just where they stand, compromise or conviction, which will result in courage or it will collapse. Praise the good choices. If, however, there might just be a wrong choice, a bad move on their part, then sit down and talk to them about why they made a bad choice. Why was it that this was, it came to pass that you made this choice rather than the other one, which we have discussed that you should be able to do? And don't get really, really overwhelmed. I mean, don't get to the point that you just say, how could you? I can't believe you. Don't overreact to that. Don't overreact to that. And the reason I say this is because you and I have made bad choices. Even though we knew, as 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, we knew the answer we should give. We knew the decision we should make. We knew the choices that were out there, and this is what we made. So this starts at home. What's a parent to do? Starts at home and knowing that this is something you're subject to. The other thing about this is the quality of our relationship with our child will determine how significant friends are to our child. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, something that is stated in verse 5 regarding this man, Timothy, and his faith, but the end of the charge is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. That's the hope and that's the prayer that Paul has for Timothy. Where is this coming from? According to what you see in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith which is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and also persuaded in thee. And then he even said in this third chapter of the book of 2 Timothy, verse 15, he says, that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's very important to know that the quality of the relationship that you have with your child has a lot to do with the friends of which they will pick and they will choose. If the home, which Ron had just led us in these songs just a little bit ago, was so significant, if the home has the place in the environment and the understanding of where our values are, where our principles are, and that child knows that this is their safe haven, that whether the choice is good or whether the choice is bad, they can always come back there and they're not going to be isolated because they made a bad choice, for sure. But they know this is where they can come to because they know this is where they've got their conviction. And they need to know that whether they're 5 or they're 15. The relationship that they have with their parents have a lot to do with what kind of friend they will pick. Hopefully, they're going to gain the greatest sense of approval from you, even if they don't get any approval from anybody else, any acceptance or any respect from anybody else. They will from you. They will from you. If not, then there's a very good possibility that there will be a child that lives with you called your child, your son, your daughter, that will go out and find somebody else that can be their friend. Who, where they're with them, that's where their safe haven is. That's where they're liked. That's where they're approved of. That's where they can gain the greatest acceptance. And it may be for your son, it may be a young girl, it may be for your daughter, it may be a young man. And you don't know what they're going to do after that. We should be the people in our homes, as moms and dads, who will emulate John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, where Jesus, before he got into the dialogue, the monologue, I guess you'd say, probably better with his apostles from that chapter on through the end, almost to the end of the book of John, and telling them about how important it was that you love one another. This is what my disciples do, that they will show love one for another. And that's very, very important, that quality of relationship is there, because 20 years ago, you parents that are here today are experiencing something now that I didn't have to deal with 20 years ago. Social media. Electronic devices that have, in many respects, become to be the substitute for the friendship that they can't see, where they gain the approval and acceptance of people that they're not really with, but they can all type out all the information and gain the approval that they're looking for. And that friendship can even be developed in a home where there's a mom and dad who really don't have a connection with their children. If they are gaining acceptance and they're gaining the approval and admiration of those people that are on this electronic device, then they don't need you. They don't need you. So therefore, this is very important. But let's move on and talk about this. To do the right thing regarding your child's choice of friends, make sure that you never underestimate the incredible impact, negative or positive, of friendships on a child. I would love to illustrate this here, but I'm not going to do this. If I had all these little children that I have in the children's class up here, and I said, okay, Micah, I want you to run around the building. I want you to run around the building. How long do you think it's going to take for any of those children to get up out of their pew and start running with Micah? Probably not very long. Not very long at all. Any child starts yelling? I mean, of all these children, if I had the appointment of one child to start yelling, how many do you think are going to start yelling right after them? You that are teachers in Bible classes, how many times has it been that you've been in a Bible class and one has to go to the bathroom and every one of them have to go? Almost every one of them have to go. They all got to go. Therefore, never underestimate the impact, negative or positive, of a friendship on your child. In this statement that was made by a college student, I'm made up of the people I know and the friends I keep. I'd be nothing without me. A statistical matter or percentage, that's just an observation that's been made. Very serious one. Along with that, there were 46 college students polled just randomly at St. John's University. They were asked about factors that would provide for them an understanding of how close they should develop a friendship with someone. And I want you to listen to these. And I want you to listen to the words that they were using. 44 out of the 46 said that one of the things that was a great factor was trust. 43 out of the 46 said honesty was a great factor. Others that followed them, 35 said faithfulness, 32 said loyalty, 31 said being a good listener, and even 28 said having ideas in common. That was, from 28 on up to 44. I want you to think about those words. Those words, trust, honesty, faithfulness, loyalty, being a good listener, and having ideas in common. Those are biblical. Those we would say are very great traits and qualities that we would want our children to look at when it comes down to choosing a friend. Well, that preference of those people and that quality is exactly what you've got in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. In honor, preferring one another. It's the preference of these kind of people with those kind of attitudes and those kind of dispositions and that kind of values. Those are the people I want my children to be with. Those that have this honesty and trust and loyalty and faithfulness, and they're a good listener. Those are the ones I want them to be with. And you know how serious that impact is upon their life. Therefore, what do you think you ought to be doing? Moving them in a direction that puts them with those types of people. If those traits that I just mentioned to you a while ago are definitely found in the Scripture, then you want to find them pointing in the direction with those kinds of children and being with those children. It would also be good to bring to their mind some of the biblical references and friendships that are developed there that you can show them exactly. Let me give you an example. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Showing to them the value of that positive friendship. Biblical, spiritual friendship. Elijah and Elisha. David and Jonathan. Paul and Timothy. And the list goes on. All these people and their relationships with each other. Ruth and Naomi. And I know there was a family matter, but after the son died, then that relationship between Ruth and Naomi was absolutely priceless between them two. Even though there's an age difference between the two. So put before them this influence of this preference of another person. And be prayerful along the way too. Be prayerful that they make a good choice. And they pick the right one. And in the process of them choosing these friends, then use positive friendships to your advantage. Use it to your advantage. Not that you're trying to really brainwash them or anything, but use it to your advantage and just challenge them with an opportunity to be with those people that they would say would be good. Not bad. And let them know how much of an influence that they can have on somebody else. That could be too good just as well. Let them know the value of being a leader. And that they should be one. Whether they're a boy or whether they're a girl. I mean, in other words, set a high standard up there of what they can be and should be. Regardless of whatever goes on around them. And I think it's very important to know that when you talk about this idea of a child that you're trying to lend itself toward them having positive influences, let your child learn approval of God is greater than the approval of others. And I go back here to 1 Peter chapter 3, but I want you to think about, even though verse 15 says what it says, one of the things that your children will need to learn is righteousness. And that righteousness needs to be done consistently, regardless of whether there are others that will participate with them in doing it. Which means, just like with yourself sometimes, when you're involved in righteousness, and you've got the conviction, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, and as a result, you have the courage to say it and do it and believe it and act the way you should, you may just find yourself all by yourself, all alone. And when your children make those decisions that are based upon conviction and have the courage to do so, even if there are not any other Christians doing it with, standing with them, and they're by themselves, don't rescue them. Now, that's pretty hard to say that. Because the tendency is for us to rescue them away from a situation where they're all by themselves. If they know that we're going to rescue them and continue to rescue them, then what kind of character will they really develop? Only the character that pleases me? Or will they have the conviction and the courage to do exactly what you see in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14 to verse 17? Where this is what Peter said in 1 Peter 3 verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are you. And fear not their fear, neither be troubled. And if you were to present the last part of verse 14 to your child to tell them what righteousness does, even though you're by yourself, that you don't have to deal with the fear that they may fear, and you may not have to be troubled the way that they're troubled if they continue on this path of ungodliness. He says in verse 16, having a good conscience, that wherein you were spoken against, you may be put to shame who revile your good manner of life in Christ. For it is better if the will of God should so will that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Now, that could be done by yourself. I mean, you could be doing well by yourself and you could be doing evil by yourself. More than likely, you'll be doing both with other people. You may do well with other people and you may do evil with other people. There's going to be that standalone moment that all of us have faced. And we're going to have to be the people who will recognize exactly what it is we should be doing. The alternative to that is, in other words, the alternative, and that is to say we make a bad choice and we choose bad friends, is Proverbs chapter 23, that he begins to discuss these things. in Proverbs 23 by talking about verse 17, let not thy heart envy sinners, but thee thou in the fear of Jehovah all thy day. For surely there is a reward, and the hope shall not be cut off. Hear thy son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among gluttonous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the gluttonous shall come to poverty, and the drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Listen to these things. Let your child know that even though there's a lot of glitter and glamour associated with everything that everybody's doing and fascination with what people are doing, fascination doesn't mean that it's good. Glamour does not mean it's great. Glitter does not mean it's great. And association with those people that are of that nature, is that going to be the approval of God, or is that going to be the approval of all these other people just because you need somebody as a friend? And that's going to be a very hard choice to make. Please know that as a parent, do not ever give up your responsibility to influence and even control our or your child's relationships. You have something to do with this. You have a lot to do with this. And there's stories on end that relate to divorce and separation, division, and crime and corruption and evil, where bad choices among friends are chosen. And that those stories are going on all the time. And I must tell you, on the other side of that, there are stories on top of stories where there have been people who are children that will consider righteousness as a result of the guidance of a parent. In other words, like Psalm 127, verse 3 and verse 4 says, they're the arrows that the parents are pointing them in the direction of the children that they should associate with and the character of those children they should be with. And they realize and they understand the value of wanting to be with good examples of Christians. We get letters all the time. We get emails all the time from these children who talk about how that being with these people, these Christian people, are so much a great part of their life. Psalm 127, verse 3 and verse 4. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. In other words, what I mean by that is, you choose the orchard by which your children pick the apples. That's what I mean by that. And when they do, then there's a good chance that they will pick the right ones. And they will be the ones who, when they pick the fruit, they pick some good quality. Now, if you're concerned about the quality of the fruit of which your child's friend has, then I want to leave you with some words of the wise man. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto these that find them, and health to their flesh. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a wayward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. But let thy eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before them. Make level the path of thy feet, and let all the ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now, to guide your heart as a parent as to what kind of fruit these children are that your children are associated with, let me let you think about this. Number one, check out their brain. You don't know what's in their brain, but I'll tell you what. You know what kind of person they are. Is that person willing to tell? Does he or she make an effort to learn? Is this person, in her mind, dwelling on the right things or the wrong things? Does he or does she think about movies? What do they think about? Movies, music, alcohol, drugs. And what's going on in their brain when it comes down to what they wear? Check out their mouth. Check out their eyes. What does your buddy watch? What does your child's buddy watch? What does she read? What kind of video games does he play? What does he look at? What does she look at on the internet? What are they asking your child to see when they come and that when they say to your child, come, look at this. And then check out their mouth. Do they talk? Number one, which is a very good thing for them to do. Are they sociable? Can they communicate? What are those friends talking about? Are they talking about good things, bad things? Are they slamming their parents? Are they gossiping or putting others down? Do they talk negatively, disrespectfully at any point in time? Do they have a bad attitude? Do they curse? Do they swear? What is it that they say about their friends when they're not with them or when they're around them? Do they sing in a worship service and do they read their Bible? Check out their mouth and check out their hands. Do they take things from other people? Do they work? Do they touch a boy or touch a girl inappropriately? Do they make obscene gestures? Do they shake hands? Do they wave? Do they give gifts? Do they help elderly people? Will they wash something that's dirty? And will they cheat on a test? And check out their feet. Not the brand of the shoes that they've got and what color nail polish they got on their toes. But where do those feet go? Do those feet go to a worship service? Do they go to a Bible study? Do they walk the narrow path that Jesus talked about in the scripture? Or do they walk quickly to evil and encourage others to run with them? And then check out their heart. Does he or she make promises that they never keep and never intend to keep? Are they really committed to Jesus Christ? Do they want to be an elder someday? Does she want to be married someday? If they come to a decision, if it's good or bad choice, will they courageously open up themselves to obey God? Is their heart guarded? Is their heart kept pure? Is the buddy that they're sharing things with talking too much about the opposite sex? I mean, what's in their heart? What's going on? Check them out. And you can do that. And you can do that without having to put a light over their head and say, sit down. I want to ask you some questions. You can observe. You can do that very well. The idea of parents doing the things that God asks of them to do is a challenge. And it can be met with the way God wants them to do it. Pray that your child will receive the instruction that you give them. And pray that you will give the instructions in an appropriate way. That way they will make the decisions regarding a friend that are conducive to what God wants them to choose as a friend. Let's bow together in prayer, please. We are grateful, Lord, for the day that you've given us, for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thankful for all the parents that are here. We want to raise their hearts and their lives to thee. And asking for you to give them strength, and courage, and conviction. And may they themselves know of how much of an influence peer pressure is upon them and friendship is upon them. And also help us to know and value the worship of thee first and the service to thee first. And let that be the guiding principle of how we should teach our children to choose friends. And may we be the ones who will make a preference of those with honesty and faithfulness and loyalty and love and trust. And find our children among the same kinds of people. And helping our children know how important it is to be a leader in the world, a light, an example. And challenge them to do that. And that they be what God asks of them to be and gain God's approval and live righteously, even if there are other people that may not want to be their friends. We ask that you, dear Lord, to help them understand, as parents and even their children, to know the greatest friend all of us will ever have is Jesus Christ. And as has been stated by the Lord, he said, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. We are thankful for the sacrifice Jesus made for all of us, even though we were enemies. He called us friends. For those that are here tonight who may live as enemies of Jesus, may they know what their friend Jesus did for them and change their life and be willing to confess that He is the Lord and Savior that died for us on the cross, and that they'll be baptized in the water to be raised in newness of life. For those that are here tonight who have realized that Jesus was their friend, but have alienated themselves from Him and have isolated themselves from the friends of God, Christians, may they turn their life back and repent of their way, come back to where the fellowship with Thee is most important, and it brings them into fellowship with other Christians to work together to the building up of the body of Christ. We pray that You'll work within our lives to help us know where we should be and what we should do. Forgive us when we have failed. Help us to improve our relationships with one another, a matter of which You've created for us to have as a gift and a blessing in this life. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing.